Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir, number 582. We just started lesson 8, the Act of Harmony. We're in a chapter called Embracing Differences. We're stressing the point here that differences here does not mean character flaws. That's a separate chapter. We'll discuss how to embrace real true character flaws, or bad midos that one sees in each other. We'll discuss that in another chapter. Here we're talking about embracing differences. Just differences in nature. And the problem people have is they assume that differences mean bad midos, that differences is character flaw, which is not the case. And people, very often, marriages, he calls it innocent divorce syndrome, where people got divorced or had problems because they just didn't accept the fact that differences, even real big differences, is part of healthy, normal marriage, working through relationship. And they hit the panic button and it deteriorates and it is wrong. This is part of chinuch in marriage, to recognize that embracing differences is a maturity, it's a growth, and it brings the biggest, biggest bracha, and it's perfectly, perfectly normal. Very, very important. And he goes through where just saying do chesed and everything will work out, a Rav gave that advice, is terrible advice, because the Rav agreed by saying that is that the lack of similarity is a problem and we're going to overtake that by doing chesed for each other. Big, big mistake. They're supposed to have these differences. And also, makes no sense. Chesed alone will not make two people with differences more similar. Of course, chesed is important. He's not negating the idea of what the Mechtav Eliyahu says in the beginning, to give and give to one another and do chesed for one another. But that will not solve problems. Part of the true chesed is to respect and enhance and embrace those differences in the best possible way. He also says, he brings 4 different mistakes that people make when dealing with their differences. The first one is what he calls self-negation. That means is that you see that you're different from one another. You find that threatening to your marriage, threatening to your relationships. So you both try to remove all those differences between each other. Husband does his best to just bend over backwards like crazy to just meld into his wife's likes and dislikes completely in her world, completely ignoring his own, or vice versa. The wife does the same for the husband. Self-negation. They now saying my personal differences, I have to be mevater and I have to just give it up completely. And these differences are threatening and we have to remove those differences. Big, big mistake. You could work and have a beautiful, beautiful unity by keeping and finding precious in each other's eyes their own individuality and in themselves. So self-negation is the first mistake, where they perceive differences as threatening to the marriage and the unity, so they try to remove all the differences between them. The second mistake is compromise. Very important. Now I was surprised when I first heard this. What do you mean you don't compromise? We're going to talk about this more. Each side maintains their separate identity and makes compromises that allow them to live under the same roof. Now, the problem is you could compromise and that will help you live under the same roof without fighting. But that's not what unity is. That's like a compromise or peace agreement between two countries that want to live together without war. So they have compromise. That's not a path to marriage. We're going to talk about what healthy compromise is when we talk about compromise. But compromising that way is not healthy. I was surprised when I first heard this because I always thought, hey, you know, meeting middle way makes a lot of sense. And very often it does. But I'm going to explain this more when we go through this concept of what compromise is and when it's unhealthy like he describes and when it is healthy. Third thing is this idea of fixing your spouse. This concept of that you view differences in others as deficiencies, and one way to naturally accept it as normal, and you basically decide to overcome the differences by working together to see what's the most correct way of looking at things. They debate each other, which way is better, which way is not better. Each one will support their way with proofs and through Chazal and Halacha. My way is right, my way is right, and my spouse's perspective is a mistake. And you enter a marriage with this perspective, it'll be disaster. Trying to fix your spouse, that I'm the right one, I have the right hashkafa, there's something off with my husband or wife's hashkafa, we're going to straighten them out. This is disaster. Trying to fix one spouse, to make them an image of yourself. The fourth problem is midas perfection. Which means like this, is that when you perceive things in your spouse which are not the way you want, and you're disappointed, so you want to overcome your disappointment by working on your own midas to control that frustration to save your shalom bayis. Some people say you get married to perfect your midas. Now, Rav Avigdor Miller said this often in a context, but this is not why you get married. Midas are important in the life. And in marriage, there's so many opportunities to develop your midas, but that's not the reason why one gets married. If you think and you go along, oh, I'm married to fix my midas, that approach will be very difficult because it will not give you that foundation of love in the marriage. Of course, the whole marriage is about working on your midas, but that's not why you get married. And that's not why you work on your midas in order, because that's what marriage is. That's the purpose. No. What is marriage? A state of working towards inner unity, harmony, that contains all their differences and embracing them. Multiple desires, opposite desires, rooted in different parts of one's own self. And let's say a person, he gives a beautiful example. You're reading an enjoyable book now and you start to get hungry. So one part of you wants to keep on reading, right? The other part is hungry. So you decide, on one hand, I want to continue reading. On the other hand, I'm hungry. I'm taking a break from reading so I could eat something, and then I'll go back to my reading. That taking a break from reading so you could eat, that's not a compromise. What is it? You're recognizing it's a need of a different part of yourself. That's what marriage is. You identify the needs of your spouse. That's a new part of your extended self, and you embrace your own self-identity too. I have needs. My wife has needs. That's an extended need of my own now, and I'm going to bring it into my life. That is the idea. Till now, it's a relationship between you and yourself, husband to himself, wife to herself. Now you're expanding it as one. A couple is two individuals. I'm embracing the reality of my husband together with mine. I'm embracing the reality of my wife together with mine. That is what Rosh Hashanah Rishayna, the Ikra Avodah of it, is all about. It requires a couple to find the differences between them. Not assume their deficiencies. Like I said before, it does not mean they don't have real deficiencies. That we'll talk about it in another chapter. But very often you perceive something as a deficiency. It's not a deficiency at all. It's just a difference. Real deficiencies, we'll talk Metzashem in a future share. How to handle real chesroinais. But now we're not talking about just differences. Differences rooted on simply that they have their own individuality, that they have their own distinct personality, or their own upbringing, their own natural inclination. That's why it's so important. Sunday Shiurim, we started or will start, let's see how it's posted, on personality differences, MBTI, and then you have to explain this. The inherent differences between the creation of a man and a woman, male and female, and the personality differences in other aspects of it. So embracing marriage calls upon a couple to recognize that their differences do not leave them with a problem. It's a pleasant challenge. That's what it is. Some rabbanim hit the panic button. Couples hit the panic button. Problems, problems, red flag, divorce. It's not meant to be. It's a disaster. Nothing of the sort. They're just different than I used to it. The challenge of appreciating each difference allows for an opportunity to bring them to a higher level of yichud, of unification and love, which will include all of their differences with a shalom. That's the problem in our generation, he says. Many people today get confused between what's good and what's easy. People think in the beginning of the marriage, the bumps in the road, because the marriage is not good. It's not true. It's very, very good. It's just not easy. Because now you are finally coming to a aspect in life where the biggest bracha is there, but you got to work. It's a normal, normal thing. Things not flowing naturally is normal. The fact that you need some extra effort to work on differences is normal. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Right? People are described, when they get married, that two drops of water. This is a man, this is a woman. Two drops of water. But no. Their differences, the fire and water, the differences between them brought them to the higher level of goodness. That is the idea behind it. Compromise. We'll talk about compromise. Compromise does not work in a marriage. Now, on a practical level, you want to go to one type of vacation and your wife or spouse wants to go another type of vacation, and you compromise by going one time here, one time there. Sounds like it's a healthy thing, and it usually is. But you've got to work on doing that, not in the form of a compromise, but in a form of extending your reality. We're going to explain what I mean now. Compromise in the world term is peace between two people or a nation that is not unified. They want to hold on to their differences, but they don't want to fight. So they compromise. But the proper approach is not that form of compromise. It's more a kavod. The proper approach is kavod. Healthy respect, to respect your spouse's perspective. Start desiring that other perspective as an extended part of your own self, but at the same time, maintaining your own unique identity as well. He gives a beautiful mashal, the Ezes Hashem, that we're going to talk about in the upcoming shir, to explain what healthy compromise is versus what he's talking about, what unhealthy compromise is. But I want to reiterate this point that he said over here that's so, so important. You're not mevatel yourself completely to your spouse. You don't go to that extreme to say, I'm going to be, quote unquote, meiser nefesh, to remove my differences and just unite with what my wife purely wants or what my husband purely wants. That's poison. You need to maintain your differences and your spouse's differences. You don't remove healthy differences between the two of you. There are healthy differences between the two of you. They're meant to be kept. Next thing is compromise, which we're going to discuss in the upcoming shir, where compromise is no good. Things even that look like compromise, the mental reality of it is not compromise. We're going to discuss that in the next shir. It's very, very important. The idea of fixing your spouse, that there are differences, you look at his deficiencies, I'm going to fix them, I'm going to mold them. That's not how it works. And the idea of, even though Rav Ignamel has said this, they're like sandpaper to each other, and marriage perfects you by having you work on your midos. There's a true element to that, but it's dangerous to say that that is the reason why you're married. It is dangerous to say that is to overcome any problem or any difference. I'm just going to work on my midos and break something there and elevate it. You could do that, but there are various concepts behind this that's problematic. You always work on your midos, but the idea is to unite with your spouse as one. You work on your midos, but it's not the idea that I'm being mevater, so I have to elevate my midos to such extent to keep the marriage alive. Of course, you have to become better as a person every moment. And it's an important part of life in this world and in marriage too, but that's not a reason why you get married, like we're going to explain Be'ez Hashem in the upcoming shir and future shiurim. Bracha v'atzlacha.